Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IDFC First Bank's Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saptarshi Bapari, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Avirath. Thanks, everyone, for joining this call on a Saturday evening. Today we have with us Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, MD and CEO of the bank, and Sudhanshu Jain, our CFO. So we'll have the brief from Sudhanshu first on the results, followed by comments from Vaidya. So now, after that, we will open the session for Q&A. So right now, I will hand over the call to Sudhanshu for his brief.
Yeah, thank you, Saptarshi. First of all, good evening, everyone. I also again thank everyone for joining on a late evening on a Saturday. I'll try to touch upon the key financial numbers for the quarter. Maybe I'll start with balance sheet components and then move to asset quality, P&L, capital, and liquidity in that order. I'll try to keep it brief, and let me start with balance sheet size. That stood at about 3.6 lakh crores at June 30th, 2025, and this grew at about 18% on a YoY basis. If we now see further components, then we continue to see a strong growth on the deposit front. Our customer deposit, in fact, crossed the 2.5 lakh crore milestone and was at 2.57 lakh crores at June. Similarly, retail deposits crossed 2 lakh crore mark. The growth in customer deposits was very strong at 26% on a YoY basis. If we talk about the CASA ratio, that also improved sequentially and touched 48% at June. The CASA deposits in value terms grew strongly at about 30% on a YoY basis. Even on an average basis, we saw similar growth for Q1. Term deposits, on the other hand, also grew strongly at 21% on a YoY basis. If we see term deposits, which is retail term deposits and CASA deposits put together, they are now 85% of our customer deposits. During the quarter, we added 14 more branches, and that takes the branch count to now 1,016. We also repaid high-cost legacy borrowings of rupees 2,600 crores in the current quarter. Happy to report that the residual stock is just now rupees 2,200 crores, and majority will mature in this year itself. We continue to bring down the credit-to-deposit ratio. That is now down to 93.4% at June 25. This was at 98.1% in June of last year. In fact, incremental CD ratio for last one year is at 75.8%. A connected point, the cost of funds for the quarter was at 6.42%, and this declined by about 9 basis points during the quarter. Similarly, cost of deposits for the quarter was at 6.37%, and this declined marginally by 1 basis point during the quarter. You would have noted that we have drastically reduced the peak CD rates in this quarter as compared to March quarter. This would reflect by way of lower cost of funds with some lag in the ensuing quarters. On the asset side, the funded assets registered a strong growth of 21% on a YoY basis to reach 2.53 lakh crores. Sequentially, the growth was about 4.7%. The growth in the asset segment was largely led by segments like mortgage, vehicles, business banking, working capital loans, and wholesale book. If we go through the presentation, we have given a detailed breakup in slide 40 of the presentation. Wholesale book grew at a faster pace at 39% on a YoY basis, and the growth was about 34% on an average basis at June on a YoY basis. Non-fund book similarly grew by 25% on a YoY basis. We have given some more color on the corporate funded and non-funded book in slide 38 of the presentation. Very briefly, about 77% of the corporate book is rated A and above, and 19% is rated BBB. We continue to also scale up products like credit card, gold loan, education loan, which are increasing from a smaller base. We have now issued 3.8 million credit cards. The spends on the credit cards were quite healthy, and it grew by about 35% on a YoY basis. During the quarter, we also had a degrowth of 37% YoY on the microfinance business because of the challenges which we have been seeing around this sector. MFI book is now at rupees 8,354 crores and is at 3.3% of the funded asset book. I will talk about SMA collection efficiency and some of these parameters on MFI slightly later on. If I talk about asset quality, gross NPA of the bank increased marginally from 1.87% to 1.97% in June. Net NPA correspondingly increased from 0.53% in March to 0.55% for June quarter. Excluding the microfinance book, GNPA ratio increase was from 1.63% in March to 1.7% in June at a bank level. Provision coverage for the bank continues to be quite healthy at about 72.3%. This has in fact improved by about 296 basis points on a YOY basis. If I talk about GNPA in the retail, rural and the MSME segment, that stood at 1.82% and increased from 1.70% in March quarter. Net NPA similarly increased to 0.66% and was higher by about 4 basis points from the previous quarter. Excluding microfinance, GNPA for retail, rural and MSME segment stood at 1.48% in the June quarter. The standard restructured book continues to come down. It is a very small component at about 0.7% of the funded assets and we feel it's adequately provided. If I talk about the SMA 1 and 2 pool of retail, rural and MSME book at June, that improved from 1.07% in March to about 1.01%. The decline was largely because of reduction in SMA 1 and 2 of the MFI book. That came down from 5.1% to 2.64% in June. In absolute terms, MFI SMA pool was at rupees 315 crores at June 25 and this has declined by 60% post peaking out in December quarter. We have also seen an improvement in collection efficiency for MFI during the quarter, which stood at 99.0% as against 98.1% in the previous quarter. On a prudent basis, we continue to hold the contingency provision of rupees 315 crores on the SMA book and hence no utilization was done during the current quarter. If I talk about gross slippages for the quarter, that increased sequentially by 14% from rupees 2175 crores in Q4 to 2486 crores in current quarter. We have called out that this included about 108 crores pertaining to one ATM service provider company, which has been recognized as NPA during the current quarter. We have also made 100% provision on this particular case. The gross slippage for MFI business decreased from rupees 572 crores in Q4 to rupees 514 crores in Q1. The SMA pool as it has come down significantly and that's also reflected through lower SMA 0 accretions which we are seeing. We expect provisions to significantly come down in Q2 on the MFI front. Gross slippage ratio during the quarter excluding microfinance stood at 3.54%, which was marginally higher than 3.35% witnessed on an average in last four quarters put together. We expect this to improve from here on. Moving on to profitability, let me start with NI that grew at 5.1% on a YOY basis to rupees 4933 crores for Q1. Excluding MFI, I'm excluding MFI because that book has been coming down. Excluding MFI, NI grew by about 11.8% on a YOY basis. The net interest margin on AUM for the quarter moderated by 24 basis points to 5.71%. And the decrease was, I would say, attributed to many components. Of course, there was a pass-through of repo which happened on the applicable book. There has been a decline in the microfinance business. At the same time, we have scaled up wholesale business. And also, there was moderation in the investment yields as the rates came down. This was offset to some extent by the reduction in the cost of funds. The decline in NIM, which I mentioned earlier at 24 basis, in fact, would be 17 basis if we simply annualize NIM based on months for both Q4 and Q1. Moving on to fee and other income for the quarter, that increased by 8.5% on a YOY basis from 1595 crores to rupees 1735 crores in Q1 of this year. The retail fee constitutes most of it and that is 91% of the total fees. Again, if we exclude MFI business, then NI fee and other income put together grew by about 12.2% for the quarter on a YOY basis. We continue to moderate on the operating expenses front. For the quarter, the growth has moderated to 11% on a YOY basis. Sequentially, OPEX declined by 1.4% in value terms. Trading gains for the quarter was strong at rupees 4.95 crores. We also did some participation in OMO during the quarter, and the rest of the gains came because of the decrease in the overall system yields. Operating profit, including trading gains, grew at 19% for us during this quarter, from rupees 1,882 crores in Q1 to 2,239 crores in Q1 of 26. Core operating profit, excluding trading gains, improved by 7.8% sequentially to rupees 1,744 crores. This was, however, lower by 6.2% as compared to Q1 of last year. Provisions for the quarter stood at 1,659 crores as against rupees 1,450 crores in Q4 of 25, and this was impacted by higher slippages, which I talked a moment ago. Credit cost for the quarter, excluding microfinance, marginally went up to about 2%, and this was 20 basis points higher compared to about 1.8% which we saw for the full year of FY25. I would attribute some bit of an increase to the seasonality factors which kicks in Q1. We have reported a profit after tax of rupees 463 crores. This grew sequentially by 52%. On a YOY basis, it decreased by 32%. I would say largely impacted by microfinance business and some increase in provisions in the other segments. Moving on quickly to capital adequacy. Capital adequacy, including profits for Q1 26, was at 15.01%. And with a CET ratio of 12.80%, including the announced capital raise of 7,500 crores, CRAR and Tier 1 would be 17.6% and 15.38% respectively if computed on June 30th financials. We expect this fund raise to conclude in Q2, and we expect all requisite approvals to come in by then. The LCR for the quarter was stable at 118%. This was marginally higher than the previous quarter. With this, I have broadly touched upon the numbers. Maybe I will hand over to Vaidya to give his opening remarks.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Really nice speaking to all of you. Away from what Sudhanshu spoke about, I'll just leave some key thoughts about how we think about how we're building the bank. And that has a bearing, of course, in the long-term, medium-term, and even short-term, but more in the medium and the long. Let me just say that the way we think about it, capital is the foundation, foundation block. And really, even without capital, even the best of business models, even with good returns, good margins, good everything, will go nowhere. So it's foundational. So in our bank, we have a strong capital. We always capitalize ourselves ahead of time. We just don't want to go low on fuel or on foundation. And this time, as you know, we are with the 7,500 crores, that's just around the corner. Our capital position is looking very strong. Number two, apart from capital, then we see deposits as a raw material. If capital is foundation, this is a raw material. So good thing for IDFC Bank is that the deposit continues to come very strong. There's a slide somewhere in the presentation about how our cost of our margin we were paying we were paying over the average cost of funds of the Indian banking system in 2020 and before was 280 basis points. We were paying more than the banking system. In the last 5 years, we have brought it down to just 60 basis points. So that's like a 220 basis points, reduction. So this, our ability to grow deposits, even after dropping the interest rate, I really think is some sort of special capabilities we have developed on this front. And it is raw material. And, And this raw material is what we are counting upon, or this capability is what we're counting upon to be able to grow the bank, which is currently, say, about 2.5 lakh crore, someday to become 5 lakh crore, someday to become 10 lakh crore, and all within our foreseeable future is within our lifetimes and within our working times is what we can achieve, and all that can happen only with our deposits. So that's the second thing that we have. The third thing is about what are we focusing upon, what am I focusing upon on a regular basis. Really, it's not about what we're going to post next quarter, because if you build a fundamental model which has a good economics, then the quarters and results will come well. It's only a matter of time. Today our NIM is about like 5.6%.
5.7%,
and our fees are about 2%. So 5.7 plus 2 is 7.7. And our credit cost, we are guiding always, we keep saying 2-1-2 formula, meaning like 2% gross NPA, 1% net NPA, and 2% credit cost. So 2% credit cost actually translates to about 1.3% on a credit provisions as percentage of assets. So you take 7.7 and then you subtract 1.3, you know you're sitting on a pretty good margin. And it's only, so as you'll discuss later, at our bank, you know, we don't see, except the microfinance issue that is there, rest than that, things are broadly holding fine, you know, it's quite good actually, I'd say. So let me say that therefore, if you're making 7.7, having 1.3% as the credit cost as a percentage of assets, then you're broadly in a strong economic, profitability. The only catch here, which you should be concerned about and which you are, which we will answer later, is cost income. So because moment cost income ratio comes right, then the whole stack is going to be very profitable. So this is on the core economics. Then what else are we, what I'm looking for at my end, you know, the thing that is of bother to me is about what percentage of the book is retailized, what is that LCR retail percentage, what is our retail deposits coming from branches is about 80% now, which we're feeling good about, what is the PCR, which is now touched about 72-73%, now we're comfortable there, what is the credit deposit ratio, these are macro parameters, credit deposit ratio is now touched 94-ish odd percent, which I'm pretty sure will come down to the 80, maybe early 90s by end of this year, and certainly go into the 80s by next year. And then we are as good as any other bank. You know, it's taken us maybe 7 years to get there from 136%, but we are definitely getting there. So the CD ratio becomes the next item to look at. How really good our digitization is our tech stack strong, is our tech stack resilient, is our tech stack contemporary, are we having the latest architectures of being cloud native, microservices, API, etc. How good our UI UX is, I really focus a lot on that, how empowered our people are, how our team structures is our expense ratio coming down, as in the growth of expense year on year, is our liability losses coming down, is as a percentage of the book, credit card loss, is it coming down, is the bureaucracy creeping in, how to keep cleaning out bureaucracy, how to get rid of old thinking or outdated thinking, you know, some people may have, as organizations may develop, these are kind of things, and you know, how structurally, so my mind is always on all structural things, and core economics, and then once you build this on these foundations, then the thing flies, and then economics comes. And honestly, this is how I think about it. I've always told you, think about the bank from the long run point of view, we're building a universal bank. So these are kind of things that is there on my mind. I must just tell you that I run the bank like that. I'm pushing pushing this in the right direction, or what I think is the right direction. And because of this approach, then economics will fall in place, and it is falling in place. Of course, there is this microfinance has disturbed the equation. We were going very strong. We were making a loss. We moved to 2,900 crores of PAT. Microfinance disturbed it. I take full responsibility for it. But it just, let me say that it came our way. But barring that one incident, otherwise like 14, 15 years now, we've not given you shocks. And I hope all of you who've been with us for a long period of time will agree with that. Now, that's how I think about it, the bank, universal bank, long-term, and that's how we're building the bank. Now, the next thing is about growth. So as far as growth is concerned, if all of these things fall in place, then how does growth come? I've said this before, but I'll just say this for context, that India is a large market. We are a small player. And from a 2.5 lakh crore, we can keep growing for a while. And let me just say that in 2010, if I just put back the history of two institutions put together and take it combined, our retail book in 2010 was, as all of you know, was like as good as zero, like 900 crores. Sorry, 94 crores. It took us 10 years to get to 50,000 crore. It took us 3 years to get from 50,000 crore to 1 lakh crore. It took us 3 more years to get from 1 lakh crore to 2 lakh crore. And you see how things change. So that is, when I say 3 years, I mean now, as in 2025, June. So I'm talking of the retail, MSME, agri, rural, that part of the machine. Now, and I'm not saying that again in 3 years it's going to double. I'm not making that statement to you. And that we'll have to see the market and how it grows, etc. We have no market share numbers. We have no such targets. We just play according to the merit of the ball. But what I'm trying to say is that when played with discipline, things can grow over a period of time. Now, the good thing is that this whole book that has now come of 2 lakh crores of the retail, rural, MSME, agri, that book. Now, on that front, the asset quality is holding quite well. I caveat the microfinance. I just want to, just for a second, digress to just to share with you that some people have raised a question at us saying that, "Hey, guys, why do you people keep taking out microfinance? You're as responsible for it, and you built it, not that someone has built it for you," and something. I must say that, yes, it has happened certainly under my leadership, to be very precise. And I'm 100% responsible for it. So the reason why we flag microfinance is not because of the fact that as if it's someone else's job. It is our job. The reason why we flag it is so that we can pinpoint where the issue is. So that's what it is. So let me just say that we take full responsibility for the whole book, including this piece and certainly this piece. Now, coming back to the point, asset quality, so we say that you can see that, look, it's been like 15 years. We've not given you any shocks in asset quality. Our gross NPA has always been 2. Net NPA has always been 1. Our credit cost, if you take a combined period for the whole period, has always been around 2%. Even now, around 2%. Even now, for this year also, give or take, guiding for 2, I think, Sudhanshu, 2 or 2.05 or something like that.
Yeah, something around that.
Something around that number. And earlier, of course, we said as the year has been coming along, we've been touching it up here or there, but nothing fundamentally. It's not like we've moved it around by a material amount of basis points. So what I'm trying to say is that it's running at 2, 1, 2, that is gross 2, net 1, and credit cost 2 for like 14, 15 years now. In between, as capital flows, it is higher also. It is like 2.3, 2.4 at some point of time, but give or take in that zone. So that is that. Lastly, I'd say, or probably second last, because I want to cover P&L later, but staying on asset quality, one important thing that we are doing, if you see the presentation we put out, you'll find that we give really a lot of disclosures on asset quality since a long, long time. For example, we also share what is the extent of what is the underwriting norms with which we're building the book? What is the basic fundamental philosophy of cash flow-based lending and how we underwrite it? We are also sharing what is the check bounce percentage. Then the next part of the funnel is, if checks are bouncing, what is the collection percentage out of the check bounce? We share that information. We share that trend for 3 years at a stretch every quarter. Then we say, "Okay, from collection percentage, whatever don't collect becomes SMA." So we share SMA percentage. Next, we share SMA by product. Next, we share SMA by product by quarter. Then we show, after SMA comes NPA. We share NPA. Then we show NPA by product. Then we show vintage graphs. The reason why we go to this level of depth is that there is complete clarity, there is complete transparency about every product in terms of asset quality, and we show credit cost also, so we don't hide our gross or net asset quality by writing off loans. We clearly show credit cost also. So all I'm trying to say is that we keep it very clean, crystal clear to you, and if you have doubts, of course, you can ask us even later in the call. Now, finally, I must say that what is her short-term view and so on, and what's the, and let me say short-term meaning like, you know, what is a one-quarter, two-quarter view, and what is the one-year view, and let me say what's a bit of longer view than that. When you take a shorter-term view, sort of say, right now it's probably it's pinched from all sides. Because on one hand, the repo rates have come down, they passed it on to customers. You know, the 50 basis points that happened last quarter, we got to pass it on this quarter. So you can see that that is an immediate hit to the income line. We have, you know, the microfinance book has shrunk, so shrunk by a good 5,000 crores. So that has shrunk the income line. That's the other negative. The deposit rates we have dropped sharply, but that impact will come, benefit will come longer term, but right now it is not yet fully translated to the P&L, so that's still a negative. So it's all negative, 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 and on all these three fronts. So, but good thing is that all of these things will reverse, because when you look 1 year ahead, you will have found that the entire fixed deposit of a bank would have got repriced materially. I think Sudhanshu shared some numbers with you, and we have dropped it quite sharply. And that will, so the cost of funds will come down naturally, structurally come down because of cutting fixed deposit rate so much. And then, you know, MFI will find its bottom finally. The repo rate is cut. I mean, we already passed it on. So what I'm going to say is you'll find the contra of all of these things playing out, and what is looking very pinched today, when you wake up maybe 3-4 quarters from now, things will look better, obviously. So this is how structurally it is playing out. So the way we think about it is that we're building it for the long run. You know, 1 quarter, 2 quarter, I'm requesting you to look it through. You know, even when we were discussing with the other private equity investors who were coming in, when we were discussing with them 5-6 months ago, my comment was the same to you as to what I'm telling you, same to them what I'm telling you. I told them, listen, this is an issue coming up for 2-3 quarters because of three reasons I told you. And I told you, please look through it. Just look through it, because if you're investing for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you can look through, or you should look through 1 or 2 quarters, but certainly I'm not promising anything better than that in the short run. But you wake up 3 quarters, 4 quarters now, I think reasonable confidence will look, things will look better. But one thing is there, we are not going to give you credit shocks, we are not giving you, you know, of course we gave you one on microfinance, I do regret that. But other than that, really long we haven't. And we don't give you growth-wise it's coming, deposit is growing, governance shocks we don't give you, we don't give you corporate governance shocks, we don't give you disclosure shocks. We don't give any shock at all on all those fronts. Just sit, you know, you can sit peacefully through us and help us, you know, help us build a good, high quality, customer friendly, universal bank, like in the league of the other, maybe 3 or 4 high quality banks out there, and probably, stand among one of them as a good bank that you can be proud of, we can be proud of. So that's what I'm thinking about, over and above what Sudhanshu shared. So that's about it.
Thanks, Vaidya. Abhidat, I think we can now open the session for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use answers while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chizwan Gao from Schoenfield. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Just on slide 52, thank you for giving the breakup of the slippages. Just wondering, what is the like-for-like number on the other than MFI slippage in first quarter of FY25?
Other than MFI, the slippages are 1,972 crores, right? So it's across the various product lines which we have. We of course saw an increase of about 350 crores in the previous quarter, but I also mentioned that we had one corporate case, an ATM service provider company, which slipped into NPA during the current quarter. The rest of the slippage, I also said, is slightly attributable to seasonality, which sort of comes in Q1. So, and it's across products, so it's difficult to sort of single out any particular product where we have seen this increase.
Okay, what's the number for first quarter 25 for the other the MFI slippages?
That was 1603 crores.
No, that's fourth quarter 25. Well,
Q1 of last year is what you're asking? We'll just get that number.
Q1 of last year.
Yeah, but since then, I would say, while we sort of retrieve that number, but since then, I would say the economic environment has also changed. So that may not be the right comparison.
But whatever it is, if we can get it, we can
get it.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Param Subramaniam from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the question. So firstly, on asset quality again, right? So if we see across product segments in this quarter, there is an increase in the NPA levels and also the SMA levels that you've called out. So anything specific you want to highlight? You know, a large peer of yours has called out, you know, stress in MSME segment. So anything you want to highlight because the delinquency levels seem to be up?
No, so we have seen, as I said, we have seen a general increase. Of course, we are watchful of certain segments so essentially some part of stress could sort of be there in the rural segment in certain states. We are watchful of that. But having said that, we are also seeing collection efficiency improvement in some of those states. So there is nothing which as such which I want to sort of single out or call out.
You mean Karnataka?
Yeah, Karnataka. But it's a general increase. I have also said that the slippage ratio, if you see for the current quarter, it's only marginally up vis-a-vis what we saw in last four quarters of FY25. So we are per se not very concerned, but we continue to be watchful.
Okay. Your thoughts on, say, unsecured MSME, because one of your you know, peers has called out that there is rising delinquency here. And also in this quarter, I see higher, you know, delinquency in the credit card portfolio. So anything there? Yeah.
Credit card, of course, it has been very range-bound. Of course, we saw some increase during the quarter, but I would say that it has remained quite stable over a period of time. Even credit costs have been quite range-bound. To your other cost...
One thing, Sudhanshu, on credit card has moved to 1.76 actually.
Yeah, but sequentially marginal increase, but it has come off from June of last year. So to that extent, as I said, it is quite range-bound. To your other question of unsecured MSME, of course, we are seeing credit costs which is broadly similar to the overall credit cost which we just quoted a while ago of about 2%. So we have seen some increase, but it's not material.
Not material, meaning it's probably in the lines of whatever we've been guiding in terms of credit costs, except for microfinance, which of course you point out. Other side, you can see the numbers. Of course, like H2, H1 all put together, like around 2% of issue this year. What are you guiding for?
So I'm saying at an overall level, we should come at a credit cost of about 2.05%. This is broadly what we had guided earlier as well. And on unsecured MSME, as I said, we are also seeing a similar kind of a credit cost in Q1.
So think of it like a little more this quarter, but coming down in Q3, Q4, stuff like that. I mean, in the sense that we are not seeing anything for us to call out that, oh my God, 2 is going to become 2.5 or something like that. I mean, I know a few other calls you've heard elsewhere, people have raised issues to you and all that. We haven't seen anything material like that to call out to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Really helpful. Just one last question. So on margins, there are a lot of moving parts from here, right? So, you know, MFI is coming down. There are actions we are taking on the funding cost side. So how to think about margins from this quarter onwards?
So we would see definitely some more impact coming into Q2 because of the rate transmission, which is yet to happen completely. But as Vaidya mentioned, that down the line, we would also see benefits from FD reduction coming in. And that should reflect in cost of funds coming down more sharper in coming quarters. So we feel that by Q4, margins should broadly restore back to what we posted last quarter. But only caveat there is there could be still some rate cuts which could sort of kick in. So my comment is caveated to that extent. But we are broadly hopeful that margins would to a great extent sort of restore back.
Yes, because we cut the fixed deposit rate quite sharply. You may have noticed it. So we were earlier paying 7.8%.
We were paying 7.9%.
At the peak of the
peak rate.
When the money was tight, I think during March or something.
Yeah.
And now we brought down to 6.75%
as the peak rate. Yeah, which is almost a reduction of 115 basis points.
And in the 1 year, 1 day bucket, we brought it down to like almost like the big banks plus 15 basis points or something like that. So like think about it that we are just 5 years old, 6 years old, and we brought our rates down to the big banks league. So so these things will help the bank actually.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Vaidya. Thanks, Adanshu. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your capital raising. So you've raised 7,500 crore. Obviously, the capital is yet to come. Any covenant changes which have happened in that? And is there any risk that basically this capital, particularly from the investor side, not talking much about the regulator, but is there any risk that you see from the investor side that possibly this capital might not come or there could be a delay in that? Is there any risk that you see?
Well, we are not seeing anything at this point of time. Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And secondly, on your credit cost, so where do you see your overall credit cost settling for the full year? Secondly, your cost income ratio also has come down in this quarter to about 69%. Obviously, business, there will be some growth which will actually kick in basically during the year, and because of the DSA cost and possibly might go up. So where do you see your cost-income ratio settling over the next three quarters? And also if you can give a guidance on the overall credit cost for FY26.
I thought credit cost we discussed earlier. I mean, discussed meaning I had a side talk with Sudhanshu, sure, like 2 to 2.05, I think, for this year. We'll call it like 2.05 if you... That's the best guess as we can see today. What are the first questions?
Yeah, cost income.
Cost income. No, the number you're seeing, 69, is actually, it has treasury income also into it. So actually, if you strip it out, you'll find that cost income has gone up this quarter.
No, it has marginally come down from 75.4% in Q4 to 73.8%. But still, it's higher, as we know, that it's still impacted largely by the top line impact which is sort of coming through. But of course, on the operating expenses, we have been able to contain OPEX to a great extent.
See, once again, if you see the cost to income ratio, it has, like you know, two components, cost and income. So on the cost, on the income front is where, you know, we are seeing, as you can, for the reasons we discussed, you know, the composition change, microfinance going away, that which was a good high yield book, and you know, repo rate coming down, passed on to customers, FD rate not passed on, etc. That is where income, which we believe will self-correct over the next few quarters. But the cost as such, so in other words, income has got impacted, but the cost as such is coming down for the bank. And you can see YOY growth for the bank is only 11%. So this is very good if the bank balance sheet is going by 20% and, you know, cost is going up by 10%, you can see that the bank is really, or 11%, bank is doing some real work on cost front. And operating leverage is more than coming in, and a lot of transformation are helping the bank. So you can see that is why the cost income is kind of elevated, but I mean, of course, lesser than last quarter, but elevated. But it will come down.
And just to add, Anand, while we are seeing this top line impact where, you know, NI and fee has just grown by 6% on a YOY basis, but because OPEX has grown at these levels, our core PPOP has improved sequentially by 7.8%. Right, this was declining for last two quarters, I would say, but at least we feel that we have been able to arrest the decline, and this would continue to sort of inch up from here on quarter on quarter.
As far as treasury gain is concerned, agreed that basically it's one-off, but I think that should continue during this year as well, right, as the G-Sec yields keep coming off. And then once your, I think, NIF
picks up... Treasury we can never be sure of in life, no? No, treasury we can never be sure of in life.
Okay.
Generally speaking, how can... Nobody can ever be sure of treasury, right? It's just like one of those things that happens to a life.
So then for full year, what's the cost-income ratio that... I mean, the core cost-income ratio that you would look at in FY26?
I mean, it's difficult to guide because there are too many moving parts, but by Q4, definitely as things improve, this should come down, but it's sort of difficult to pencil out a number as such.
Because by that time, we know that we discussed earlier, right, the margin should look better for the reasons we discussed, and cost is anyway, we have kept it very tight. So naturally, cost income ratio by Q4 should start coming down.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just want to understand on the slippages, the seasonality part, what would be the quantum of that in this quarter?
I thought we just called it out, right?
Thanks, Rohan, first of all, because it's difficult to quantify that, but that usually I would say some bit of seasonality comes in Q1. I'm saying the collection efforts are slightly muted and so on, right, at start of the year and so on. Typically Q4 is a strong quarter in that sense, so it's difficult to quantify a seasonality as such, but we of course expect slippages to sort of come off from here on.
Sure. And while you alluded to the fact that the slippages increases overall was across segments of products, but any customer cohort or any category of customers where we are seeing an increase in slippages? Or is it that a certain customer has slipped where there are multiple linked accounts? Any color around that?
So nothing of that sort as such. See, if you take out that ATM service provider, then the increase is about 200 crores for the quarter, right? I'm saying, and sequentially, if we take out that ATM service provider, the increase is about 9.5%. So while it has increased, but we feel that it's not that kind of a large increase which has come through. Some bit of course, increase is there, but if you see from a slippage ratio point, right, which I mentioned earlier, right, that's quite stable, right, at about 3.5%, and that was a similar trend which we saw in last year.
Sure, and nothing even on the vintage analysis perspective, it's spread across cohorts.
No, nothing as such to call out.
Sure. And sir, what will be the outstanding AFS reserve?
Outstanding AFS reserve? Yeah. We'll just get that number.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Taluja from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just few questions at my end. Particularly on the OPEX front, given this year, we see most of the banks are showing improvement on the operating expenses growth because this is the one lever where banks can play around. Can you help me understand over the medium term, not in FY26, but in FY27-28, how do you expect the operating expenses growth versus your advances growth? And where do you expect the cost income ratio to settle over the medium term? So that's my first question.
So Himanshu, thanks for the question. So operating expenses, we will continue to sort of moderate and it should stay in the range of about 11-12%, that kind of a growth in the near term as well. And we have already guided on cost to income ratio of 65%, which we are targeting for FY27. Our still hope and belief is that we should try to come in there. So we will try to ensure that we exercise diligence and proper controls around the operating expenses.
But some of the events have also changed since then. So just keep a word of caution there, Sudhanshu. Because it's microfinance, this, that, repo rate, so many things have happened.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye out on that. All of you also, Himanshu also, Aditya, right? Who's speaking?
Yeah.
Himanshu, okay. Himanshu, so just keep an eye out on that. But we are we are at least attempting to go in the direction. The thing to, but to your very specific question about what we expect the OPEX growth this year, next year, year after that, at least internally the way we're thinking about it, if you remember when we spoke about this last quarter or last quarter year, quarter before that also, we've guided that we expect this year to, this year meaning 26, to be around 13%. Correct, Sudhanshu? 12 to 13% is
what was our earlier guidance.
Yeah. I know, but it looks like we're going to not go reach there also. Like looks like, you know, Q1 has been on 11. Unlikely we're going to. So think of it like we're doing slightly better than what we must have guided before on the OPEX front. I don't mean cost income, and OPEX, because like you rightly said, it's in our hands. Now 27, 28. At least the way we are thinking about building the bank, we think more like 12% or so. So 12-13% probably there.
So you expect around 600 to 800 basis point is there where you can have the OPEX growth lower than the advances growth? Is that the right understanding?
That's how we are thinking about it, yes.
Yeah, sure. Second is on the MFI.
Because if you grow the book by about 18%, and if OPEX grows by say 12%, 12 is okay, so I'm sure to say?
Broadly.
Yeah. So that's how we're thinking about it. Yeah. I may want to be safe, you can write 12, 13, but we're trying to do 12 actually.
Yeah, thanks a lot. The second question is on the MFI business. Probably given this MFI, the proportion of the mix which is there, probably it has come down over the last 1 year, and it may not go back to the earlier levels as well. What is the, given this is an implication on your overall margins, how much of the permanent damage you expect on the margin front? How one should see a more normalized, because once the this pass-through of the repo rate will happen, and even on the deposit side as well, what is a pretty normalized margins one should expect going ahead? Thanks.
See, I thought, I'm not sure if we discussed earlier in the call or not, but like 5.8-ish or so is what we expect Q4 to be. Correct, Sudhanshu?
Yes, or slightly higher, but only KBIT, which I said, it's also contingent on repo, any more repo rate cuts which may sort of come through.
So, but for now, let us say Q4, we're thinking like the 5.8-ish. Now, you know, next year will be next year. We'll have to see how it plays out. There's so many moving parts. But that's how we think about our business model. That's why in the earlier example, right at the opening part of the call, when I was trying to draw up the ROA tree for the bank, I told you about 5.7 actually. I said 5.7 and then I said 2% for fees. So I said 7.7 and I said 1.3 credit cost. That was the stack I was, you know, speaking to you, saying that that's how we're thinking about the bank. Now it all comes down to cost income ratio. But that we answered earlier, that as the events play out, we think by Q4 should look better.
And just to add, MFI, we expect the pace of decline to sort of reduce because the book has already come off significantly. To that extent, the impacts on NIM because of MFI should be slightly lower.
Fair.
Because the pace of coming down there. Yeah.
But once this segment will normalize, will you start growing this piece again? This piece again? MFI 27.
It's an important question. Let me answer that. So, let me answer that. So, the answer is yes, we want to grow it. So, you know, this business, of course, after every 8 years, 7 years, it has its own cycles. We agree with that. But, you know, with every cycle, every learning, the next part of the cycle stretches out longer because people learn. In this case, our own thinking is that probably they'll bottom out at about 7,500 odd crores. It's currently about 8,500 crores.
Yeah.
Right, Sudhanshu?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there. And then from there on, wherever industry grows, we'll probably keep in line with the industry. Because see, let me make it simple to you that this is a really good franchise we have built. It's a really, really good franchise. It's not just because this major incident happened in mind, I have no intention of shutting it down or closing it or anything like that. It's just really good business. You know, we have people on the ground. We have built fantastic relationships, processes, technology, systems, reaching out to bottom of pyramid, weaker section financing, weaker section PSL, you know, SMS PSL. There are so many benefits. So you got... We, the way we think about it is that we got to do two things so that we protect ourselves. There are many benefits I already told you. What we need is protection. So protection is we take a CGFMU cover and then, you know, maybe have and watch it very carefully.
Yeah, sure, sure. Thanks a lot. So just a suggestion, the way you have put in the disclosures around the asset quality, earlier in the earlier presentations in the previous quarter, you have also used to disclose a lot on the cost side also, say some of the segmental wise as well. If you can incorporate some of those, because I think if I have glanced it carefully, you have not put such disclosure this time on the OPEX front. If you can put it, that would be very helpful.
No, in fact, it is there. We have given cost income segment wise in the presentation. Maybe I'll just, it's on slide 64. Of the presentation.
Okay, sure. Maybe my just missed out.
Yeah,
no, sure.
Cost income ratio.
Yeah, that's what segment wise. Okay, what is it?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the quarter. I just had one question on repo pass through. So let's say the repo rate was cut on 7th or 8th June. When does that pass-through happen on your EBLR book?
So that pass-through to a great extent will happen in Q2 on the June cut. And I would say some bit of repo transmission for the earlier cuts would also have an impact in Q2.
No. Okay, but does it happen, say, after 3 months or gradually within 3 months?
No. So I'm saying, let me further clarify. So I'm saying, generally, say a repo is changed on a particular month, there is a cycle. So if a customer's loan will get reset once in 3 months, so if it depends on when his last change happened, so that's how the transmission will happen through the quarter. So hence, we saw some bit of repo transmission of the February and April cut in Q1. And as I said, because of the 3-month criteria, some bit of spillover could happen into Q2. But June would essentially come largely in Q2. So that's how the repo transmission will happen.
Okay. So even the April transition, transmission has not fully happened then, because someone's due date could have come, let's say, on 15th May. So for that guy, it's only for half the quarter, half of one. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah. So I'm saying someone whose last reset was in March would have completely got reset in Q1. Somebody where last reset was in, say, April, a loan was taken in April. For him, the transmission will happen into the next quarter. So it depends on the cycle when you have sort of availed the loan. And that's as far as the existing loans are concerned. For the new loans, of course, that transmission would be immediate and depends from bank to bank in terms of how you want to sort of price the loans in terms of lending.
Understood. So then, Sudhanshu, then my question is, now we are 5.7% NIM. We want to go in the next 3 quarters to 5.8. Obviously, 2Q will be lower. How much more do we need to cut our TD rates by to reach that?
No. We assume where we are currently.
So that alone is enough to go back to 5.8. Just the deposit maturity pattern is enough to take us to 5.8.
That's what we think, because capital is also coming, no?
So you're... That the deposit call, okay, fair enough. Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah, that was it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Karote from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
This is a more qualitative question on credit growth. Very few of the banks have been able to manage this growth in 1Q. So, wanted to understand June, July trends and if there are any segments that you want to call out that can drive the recovery from 2Q onwards. And also general credit environment, are you seeing any stress build up in any segment which wasn't there in 4Q?
So, you know, we actually put out how this growth is coming. So if you take a full 1 year YOY, you could see that 22,000 crores has come from business finance, which is basically wholesale banking loans, business banking, working capital, CVC, etc., etc. So that's 22,000 crores. And then 5,200 crores is coming from vehicle loans growth, and 8,400 crores is coming from mortgages growth. Mortgage is basically home loans and loan against property. So these are the three levers that have materially contributed to the growth, because the total growth is 44,000 crores. Out of 44, we are explaining 23 plus 5,200 plus 8,400. I think that's together it'll come to 82% if you do the math. So that's what it is. Now, in terms of credit, you know, I think Sudhanshu answered it earlier, but I'll say it again, that broadly, if you see SMA data of almost all products, they're all holding like similar, like what it was in the prior quarter. And you can see that also. So interest save, you know, interest save one family of products. Let me say within every product family, say MSME, there may be 7 or 8 products. Within that, one product may be higher, one product may be low. You know, for example, in consumer loans, there is also vehicle loan, consumer loan, education loan, credit cards, gold loan, everything is there. Out of there, something may go up, something may come down. But broadly, all put together, like the zone we talked about, like that 2-ish or 2.05, which is not any materially different than what we said before. So, you know, it's 10 basis points here or there. So that's what it is actually. So, I mean, there could be interest rates come up and down, but we are not calling out anything specific to say that is a concern or anything like that. I mean.
So do you see increased competition? I mean, right now the competition levels would be lower in unsecured credit, for example. Do you see that returning in Q2 and Q3? Should that have any effect? Or basically, I'm trying to understand what is not. Is it a demand issue? Is it a supply issue? Or is it just everybody waiting till the bureau scores point to a better macro numbers?
No, let's get a question clear if you don't mind. So are you trying to understand, are we going about growth or you have to understand asset quality? Because I need to answer more precisely.
Yes. Actually, I'm trying to understand for unsecured credit. There are two players who have reported decent growth at scale, but most of the system still doesn't seem to be there. So we are trying to understand if it's still that asset quality comfort at a system level, not specific to IDFC, but more from a system level. Because you would be seeing it in the competition levels that you face on the street.
Yes. So of course we know that some members have talked about higher credit cost and something here or there, but you know, we already answered this question maybe a few times, that we are not seeing a material call-out for us to call out on the credit quality front, because asset quality is holding good. You know, gross NPA is still 1.95, net is still I think 0.56 or something, and then the credit costs are already publicly announced. Already said the number is going to be 2.05 or something like that, and maybe let's call it 2.05 just to be, you know, that is our close estimate at this point of time. So nothing material to call out. Now, in terms of how we are seeing in the market and so on and so forth, you know, sometimes we should be careful when we see the market, and therefore we should double and triple check our numbers. For example, see credit cards. For many quarters now, some institutions or other has been pointing out some credit issue, but we are not seeing anything in credit cards, and we've been reporting our numbers publicly for the last many quarters. In fact, we specifically call out credit cards as a product, and we call out what is the gross, net, etc. So we watch, but we should be confident about what we're doing also.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jai from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir. Sir, I mean, if we have given the CASA number together, which is like 30% YOY growth. If you would have the numbers separately for CA and SA in rupees crore, for this quarter and maybe YOY QOQ also, just to get an understanding of the growth in CA and SA separately.
Jai, thanks for the question. So we are broadly getting a similar growth in CA as well, but the CA as a proportion is still smaller for us, right? And that's about 15% of the total CASA. Of course, endeavor is to increase this CA proportion as we sort of go along. If you see for, players who have been there for long, this ratio is typically higher at about 20-25%, right, of CASA. Or CA as a percentage of total deposits, so the ratio is more around 13-14%. For us, that ratio is around the 7.5-8% mark currently. So
we have work to do basically on the current account.
Yeah.
And actually, see, we are lower, let me say, on the CA front as compared to the what it should be. But you know, in the industry, generally speaking, building CA is a harder task. But we certainly feel that we should, because we are a good bank, tech is good, reach is good, and so on and so forth. We believe that we should be able to get, we're at least trying to get to industry numbers, yeah.
Sir, I was trying to understand the SA movement in the last, let's say, one or two quarters. A lot of banks have cut SA drastically, right? And we now have a significant advantage over peers in terms of at least the card rates. Has that flown in, you know, dramatically in the balances, because that was not visible just by looking at the CASA number in total. So that was the idea to understand, you know, of course, if we are, let us say, sacrificing a bit on cost, are we getting the throughput, the desired throughput? So I think so.
I mean, it's just, I do think, because end of the day, Zucker, SA growth is very strong. So, as in management and anything, it's very difficult to see what is hitting right for somebody, right? It's a combination, it's a brand, it's a tech, the UI, UX, it's a very, very good mobile app. If you don't have the bank account, you should really test out our mobile app. It, you know, our tech stack is very good. So, presence is, you know, in the sense, is good. So there are so many things that are going well. Our culture is good. Service levels are good. The service rate is also good. So it's very difficult for us to pick what is working for the bank, but something is working. The combo is working somewhere. So in fact, we've cut FD rates. The reason why we cut FD rates more like sharply and meaningfully, is that as and when we cut the, you know, let's say that 1 year goes ahead and our entire fixed deposits balances of say about 1 lakh crores gets repriced downwards. Okay, let's call it like 90-100 basis points. Can you imagine what a material benefit it will be for the bank in the subsequent years, in 27, 28, 29, 30? I mean, assuming we can maintain this kind of rate. So, because you get a structural advantage. So, that's how we think about cutting FD rates, because we will see the benefit of it in subsequent years, because it's structurally come down. Side is in our hands. We can cut it anytime we want. We just want to make sure that there is enough money in the bank, that we pay off all our bonds. We still have to pay 30,000 crores of bonds, not high cost, but you know, refinance and everything. So we pay off everything with this money, and it's still cheaper than our many of the other borrowings.
Right. No, sir, I was just looking at the timing of if you want to cut SA rate, then maybe this is the time, right? I mean, SA rates by the peer banks have come down to historical low levels. And
so, well, but many of the peer banks have not cut the FD rates to our rate. See our rate. Yeah, if you take 1 year, one, we are like in the zone of the big banks. Other banks have not cut it that rate. So people have chosen to cut one or the other or moderately cut both. We have sharply cut a fixed deposit. I mean, it's all comes back to the same thing. Everything contributes to cost of funds. But cutting FD structurally cuts it.
Right. And then just on margins, right? So this quarter, let's say we have a decent 60-65% fixed rate book where the impact would have been very smaller except for the mix change. And, you know, let's say 50 basis point yield compression has actually resulted in 25 basis point yield NIM reduction, right? Because there's not too much change in the cost of funding at all, right? Similar things could happen in Q2, right? The remaining 50 basis point yield impact comes and then there is no material change in the cost of deposit and maybe the similar NIM outcomes. Is that a decent mathematics?
Yes, of course. I think you got it right. That's why we pointed out that next, you know, you could have a situation where the, where you know, like if you remember right at the beginning, I pointed out that your Q1, Q2 will go through this phase where, you know, income will come down and cost of funds will not have come down, you know, proportionately. But we have mentally factored it in because we're building, looking ahead. And when we look Q3 or Q4, things will even out. That's why we said this, Sudhanshu said earlier, like 2.8%-5.8% he expects to claw back. But Q2, we expect our NIM to come down.
Right. And last question, sir. We are now a large bank, right? And one of the fast, one of the fastest growing. On the board side, just a small observation that we have one executive director, which resembles, you know, some of the small private banks, whereas the large private banks, they have, you know, multiple EDs. So, when do you think we would hit that, that time would come when, you know, we may have more than one ED? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll think about it. We do think about these things at the board, so we'll think about this one also.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Modi from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ravi. Thanks for the call. Definitely it seems like your asset quality is holding much better than peers, on the delivered numbers. But are there any early warning signs, let's say, 3 or 6 months from now, if we do end up getting some sort of weakness, what may be the possible areas, which could lead to slightly higher, NPL stresses, on your book? Thank you.
So what would be a material number, Harsh, that you would worry about? I'll answer the question accordingly. Would you say 5 basis points would bother you? Would you say 10 or 20? At what stage would you say that we should have called out? I mean, even now.
Let's say 50 basis points.
How much?
Delta. 50 basis points delta.
50?
Yeah.
No, no, we don't think there's anything that's moving the bottom like that for us. Had you said 5 basis points or 10 basis points, I'd have said, yeah, maybe some products can, you know. For example, if you think of a rural market and you find that, okay, you got the MFI business, now, are there, you know, are there any other business that can give you a little more higher credit cost than the other? Yeah, like I told you, there are 20 products, something will give more, something will give you less. So would you say, can the numbers change by 5 basis points, 10 basis points? Yeah, of course, we are running a bank, anything can happen. But 50 basis points? No, 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 we don't think like that at all. I mean, that is our, we don't think we'll give you that kind of a surprise.
Right. So incremental is very limited, 5 basis points, 10 basis points, because there is a bit of a dichotomy here. We have multiple banks, NBFCs, big and small, saying there are some degrees of risk. They're watching certain segments.
Yes.
Be it MSME, some CV, some microfinance is an ongoing issue. But your commentary seems to be reasonably sanguine, and definitely a lot of it has to do with your underwriting and your standards. But I'm just trying to figure if there is a risk 3 or 6 months down the line, which may be brewing, but as a market, we are not fully aware of.
No, I think you're.
Especially for your book.
No, I genuinely believe your concern is a valid concern, because if we gave you a 50 basis points shock, like tomorrow, if we came back to you end of the year and said, "Oh, my God, it's now going to be 2% or 2.05%, now it's going to be 2.55%," right? I'm thankful to you that you gave me a number so that now I know what ballpark, what is your benchmark of material movement. You told me it's 50. Now, do we think any product of the bank will take us in that zone? The answer is no. Do we expect our H2 to be, you know, in a credit cost average book? In fact, we think could be better than H1. We think H2, you know, like Q2 could be like probably in zone or probably, you know, Q1, Q2 could be probably similar, I'd say, in terms of give or take. But Q3, Q4, actually, we feel at this point of time, it, you know, frankly, we've not gone very wrong with our numbers, you know, for the last many, many years. We model this all the time and keep projecting it forward. We've not gone wrong in the past. Our own benchmarks say that Q3, Q4 should only be better. We don't expect it to, like, go the other way around. Your concern is, can 2.10, 2.05 become 2.55? No, we don't think so. So we'll watch, since I see that you are concerned. So you are seeing other people's numbers, other people's commentary. We don't have those commentaries to give because we are not seeing data to suggest anything like that.
Great. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Biraya from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a small thing that your GNPAs on the home loan as well as LAP on a sequential basis has increased by about 14-15 bps. Could you give a perspective as to why is this happening?
Let me see the numbers so we can talk after that. Give me 10 seconds. Show the numbers.
Okay. I lost my second question.
I can stay on the line.
No, you can stay on the line. We'll fetch the numbers in a minute. So, you know, GNPA. So how has it gone up then?
Margin, it's a marginal increase.
How much? What has it gone up?
Home loan.
Yeah,
home loan, in fact, has come down.
I'd like to, let's point to page 47. We want to see how it has gone up. Where has it gone up, actually? So, 0.84 is the gross NPA.
Yeah,
and the 0.52 is the net NPA for home loans. Correct?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So my question is from 70 bps to 84 bps on a sequence.
Okay. Oh, you mean last quarter it was 70 bps. Okay, it's not on my sheet, so I'm not able to compare. But really, there's nothing to call out. Also, maybe the book is probably slowing down. You know, we're not growing it that much. So think of it like that. But nothing like, you know, when you see nothing that should materially bother you in home loans. And anyway, home loans, as you know, is a very stable thing. It is not, it doesn't disturb us. Home is anyway stable, right? No, neither for us nor for anybody. The whole system, home has given any trouble. Don't bother about it.
Fair enough. And the second question is on the MSME side. Is there a change in the pace of disbursement on the MSME front? I mean, I'm assuming LAP would also largely indirectly be MSME financing. So if you combine the both, is there a change in pace of disbursement or anything that you can like? Because a lot of banks and a lot of NBFCs have been highlighting some sort of stress or potential stress on MSME front.
I know we said this many times in this call has come about that other people are saying this and pointing out some concerns. Well, we also want to be very, very, very but we are not seeing any material slowdown or anything like that. But you see, for our numbers, as I speak, Saptarshi points out to me that the overall business finance book, you know, which has wholesale loans is grown, but the rest of the book is muted only. Anyway, it's not growing dramatically, as you can see.
Okay,
so if you take a quarter, so you see March 25, the business financing book is, you know, 9,700 crores, the CVC is 7,500 crores, and other MSME long tail is 14,000. We can do the maths offline, but basically you can take these three numbers together. Then in June 25, it's 8,300 and 14,000. If you add them up, like you would take, let me just say it's been flat.
Yeah.
Is it flat?
Fair enough. Thank you, Vedi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaidyanathan, MD and CEO, for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much for staying up this long and participating with us. I want to just assure you that we'll be careful. Except microfinance, we don't have anything to particularly call out. Like I said, you know, there are some 25 product lines, something will go up, something will come down. But broadly, give or take, we are in zone. We are in zone of where we said, we've discussed it many times, many callers ask this question, so I want to just say that, I want to still say, we're in zone. One of the callers specifically mentioned, Harsh, I think, mentioned clearly, what is the material movement? Is it 50 basis points? I want to assure you, we are not thinking anything that line. If you heard it from anywhere else, maybe you can reflect closely, but we don't have anything to call out like that at all. you know, 10-15 basis points can always happen. We are running a business, can happen always, but nothing material of the order we're talking about. We are, like I said at the beginning, we are very focused on building a quality brand, quality bank, good journeys, good systems, good technology. All these things will eventually play out in the way the bank will come about. So that's what it is. So look forward to seeing you next quarter. Look forward to material, improvement from us, let me say, by Q4. Basically, that's when the whole, or maybe Q3, Q4, that's when the, the economics change because of the funding cost changes by that time.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. Thanks.
Thank you. That concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.